found my arms tighter and surged upwards. My chest was pressed against his, and he wound an arm around my back. Lifting me in the air, he carried me out of the bar. We must have looked ridiculous, but I didn't care. The need for him would never lessen. It grew with each day, and as soon as we were outside, Carter placed me into the car. He was right behind. I was barely aware of anything else. His lips covered mine, and that was all I needed. The world melted away. 30. A week later, we were back in that car, but instead of leaving a work event, we were heading towards one. It was the Richmond's Christmas party. Noah had opened 3 more Richmonds across the nation, so each hotel across the nation, and a few internationally, were sending employees to our corporate headquarters. In short, this party was a big deal. Carter was dressed in a tuxedo, and I wore the white dress Teresa had once forced me to wear. The fabric was sheer and shimmery. It was layered, so nothing could see through, and the 2 lengths were tied around my neck again. The ends were long enough, so they were draped over my shoulders and decorated with diamonds. My hair was another matter. I had tackled the dress on my own without difficulty, but Amanda insisted on doing my hair. So we had all been picked up from their apartment. Noah was already at the party, but my friends were dressed to impress. Their eyes got big when Carter came to the front lobby. Even Amanda seemed to have held her breath for a second. I couldn't blame them. He was dashing. I wasn't sure if it was the rich lines from the tuxedo that molded over his lean physique, or it was his eyes. An extra amount of chill was in them that evening. They seemed ready to tear into anyone, which emphasized the aura of danger that always clung to Carter. I patted his hand once in the car and asked in a soft voice, "Are you okay?" A soft kiss to my cheek was my reward. He patted my hand back.
"I am fine. You look ravishing."
His answer didn't appease me, but I sighed. This would have to wait. I knew Carter well enough to know when he was lying to me. No one else would be able to tell, but I also knew that he wasn't going to confide in me with my friends in the same car, and I couldn't stop remembering a phone conversation that he had. He'd been in his office at home, but the door was open. I hadn't intended to eavesdrop, but when Franco's name had been said, every alarm went on full alert in me. I hadn't heard much, but I knew enough to know that Carter was keeping something from me, and that it related to Franco. After the night when he was supposed to have been killed, I never heard actual confirmation. I didn't know if I should have. Carter pulled most of the guards around me, so I assumed everything was fine. But I couldn't ignore the knot in my stomach. Maybe things hadn't ended as well as I had assumed.
"Emma, did you hear about Tamara?"
I lifted my head and turned to Teresa. She was even more beautiful than normal. Her dark blonde hair had been swept up into multiple tiny braids. Amanda worked miracles with them as well. The same diamonds that had been added to my dress were also in Teresa's braids. They matched the shimmery gold dress she wore. Giving her a smile, I forced those nagging thoughts to the back of my mind. They'd have to be dealt with on another night.
"What about Tamara?"
"She got promoted. She's going to a branch in Minnesota to head it up."
Teresa giggled. Her cheeks were flushed from the wine we had in their apartment.
"I think she's pissed. She wanted your old job under Mr. Hudson, but her supervisor booted her ass. Can you believe that?"
I grinned.
It was karma.
Tamara had been one of the queen bitches who froze me out a while ago. I wondered what she had done to piss off her supervisor. A transfer to Minnesota wasn't really a promotion. Everyone would have preferred to work their way up the ladder in our corporate headquarters. That was here, not there. Amanda frowned.
"Weren't you friends with her, Emma? Didn't she come out once with us?"
And she faded, because this was the awkward moment. Tamara had gone bowling with us. Ben, Mallory, and the current boyfriend had been there as well. Teresa grimaced.
"Speaking of the dead."
"Teresa."
"What?"
She shrugged her shoulder and ignored her roommate.
"You guys never talk about her. It's been long enough."
I don't think Mallory would have wanted you to never talk about her. One night of bawling over her doesn't cut it. It's good to reminisce about old times. You're honoring her memory.
Amanda grew red in the face, and she turned towards her window. Teresa rolled her eyes.
I know what I'm talking about. My parents are dead, remember?
Carter looked over then. He'd been content to be quiet and stay in the background as much as possible for him. His eyes narrowed now.
Everyone grieves differently. I doubt you were laughing about your parents 5 months after they were ground into cement.
Carter, I murmured. Teresa paled.
That's a horrible thing to say.
Their friend was gutted. The other was killed by Emma.
His wolf-like eyes grew in hostility.
Sometimes silence is being sensitive.
Then he turned away again. It was obvious the conversation was done. Frowning, I watched Teresa to see how she would handle that efficient dressing down. Her head went down, and her hands folded together in her lap. Her shoulders drooped as well. I exhaled a soft breath. It wouldn't help for one of my only two friends to remember her previous disdain for Carter. But when we got to the party and stepped out, Teresa stopped both of us. She looked from Amanda to me.
I'm sorry, guys. Sometimes I speak before I think.
Amanda threw her arms around her roommate.
Oh, we know.
Both laughed and pulled me in for the hug.
You guys are some hot mamas. Let's party.
Biting her lip, Amanda's cheeks grew rosy again, but I caught the surprise in her gaze. I agreed with Teresa. My oldest friend was a serene vision. She wore a very soft pink dress. It was a strapless A-line, hanging down to her toes. She resembled a Greek goddess. Remembering the cop who wanted to date her, I kissed her cheek and whispered, "It's your turn." Her eyes held mine, and a promise passed between us. It was her turn to be happy. She knew what I meant, without another word of explanation. Teresa and Noah would eventually figure it out. They had to. They loved each other, and I had Carter. It was Amanda's time now. The event was held in the largest banquet hall, but that wasn't big enough. The lobbies surrounding were filled as well, with liquor and food stations every few feet. The party seemed in full swing when we arrived, but as we stepped inside, I sensed the attention. One by one, they turned to us. It wasn't like it chose. It was more. That's when I realized that I'd been secluded at work the past week. Teresa wanted me to work with her in a private conference room. She got the coffee for us, she paid for the food, and had it delivered to her office. The times we ate out, she suggested a cafe a few blocks away. It was starting to make sense now. I caught her gaze. How bad was it at work? She grimaced. It would have been too much for you. I sensed the avid attention and knew she was right. I wanted to hit myself in the forehead. I should have known. Carter was at Joe's. They all saw, and they had a week to comprehend it. The interest had been heavy that night, but it was more tonight. With his hand in mine, he led us through the crowd until it opened to a group of tables that had been sectioned off from the main crowd.
Ah! Teresa grinned. VIP, I like it.
Recognizing a few of the security guards from Carter's own group, I knew he had planned ahead. Mike even nodded to me with a friendly smile. Progress. Once we stepped past the divide, all bets were off. Older and distinguished-looking men approached Carter in waves. They wanted to shake his hand, talk about the hotel, and that was when I figured it out. They knew him from the board. These were my bosses, or my other bosses. Seeing that he would be busy, Teresa tapped my arm and pointed to a back table. She leaned close. Let's grab that one. Noah's already here, but I'm sure he'll want to sit with us. I nodded, anything to get away from the prying eyes. As we settled in, Teresa went to the bar and returned with three drinks. A waiter followed behind her with two bottles of wine. Another came over with a platter of food.
We were munching on fancy hors d'oeuvres, and I wasn't sure I wanted to know what was in them. It didn't take many of them before I was full and left the rest on my plate. Teresa snagged them later on, and Amanda nibbled at hers. That's what she always did. We were able to watch the crowd, and they weren't able to approach us. The other people in the VIP section were the older men and their dates, and those women knew each other. They cast shrewd looks at us, but no one approached. I was grateful. Teresa called them snobby social naders. Again, I was grateful they remained away. After a while, Teresa pointed to a few guys and asked Amanda to rate them. Their conversation soon went in that direction. We were busy picking out the Mr. Amanda-to-be the rest of the time. It was surprisingly fun. The fun ended an hour later. Carter had been talking to the board members the whole time when a man went over and whispered something in his ear. I stood up, without thinking. The conversation at my table stopped, and Amanda asked, frowning, "What's wrong?" Teresa turned towards Carter. "Where is he going?" I couldn't answer them, but my gut had dropped out of me. Something was wrong. Something was happening. We watched as he turned for a side door. The man went with him, but gave him one final nod before he turned away and went through a different door. I started forward. "Emma," Amanda hissed at me. Her hand grabbed onto my wrist. "What are you doing? Something's wrong, so let it go. Carter knows what he's doing." I frowned at her. What was she doing? She'd never questioned me before. But I only pulled my wrist away. "Watch my purse." Then I hurried after him. When I got to the hallway, I couldn't see him, but I turned the farthest corner. There was something about that man. He wasn't dressed like everyone else. He wore a suit, not a tuxedo. His hair hadn't been slicked back like most of the other men who were dressed to impress that night. There was nothing about that guy that should have made him seem out of place, but a light bulb clicked. That was it. He was nondescript. He looked like he wanted to blend in, and because of that, because I'd been around Carter's security guards enough, I knew he'd been one of his men. He hadn't been a guard, though. If he had, he would have returned to his post, but no. The guards were all dressed in black suits. This guy wore a brown one. He was mob. I knew it. I turned another corner and stopped short. The guy was there, at the far end. He was looking out the window with his phone pressed to his ear. He was talking into it, and as he seemed to be following something outside, he was relaying instructions over his phone. I started for him. If Carter wasn't around to give me answers, he would. But I was pulled into an empty conference room. Gasping, I was pushed against the wall and a hand covered my mouth, a body pressed against mine. All the tension left me. This was Carter. My body reacted before I realized it was him, and it softened. My legs parted for him, and he bent closer, nuzzling under my neck, before he whispered, "What are you doing?" My eyes snapped open. This wasn't my Carter. This was their Carter. I pushed him away. "I was following you." He leaned back, but his body kept mine anchored to the wall. His eyes were hard and aggravated. I didn't care. I kept my hand on his chest. I needed to feel his heartbeat, to know when, if, he was lying to me. "Where were you going?" "To the bathroom." His heart didn't skip a beat. Nothing. It was steady, but I knew he was lying. I saw it in his eyes. "This isn't the bathroom." A grin teased at the corner of his mouth. Then his eyes switched. They darkened, and lust began to fill them.
"I was coming back."
"You were leaving." The lust vanished, and he took a step back now. The air felt cold without his heat, but I stopped myself from feeling it. His eyes narrowed, but he murmured as his hand began to caress the back of my neck.
"You don't believe me."
I shoved his hand away. "Stop manipulating me." All gentleness vanished. A hard wall came over him now.
"You stop it, Emma."
Sucking in my breath, I hadn't expected that harshness to come at me. Blinking back tears from the shock of it, I geared myself to be strong. I had to stick with the truth. That was the hand I had, and I needed to use it. Who was that man?
What man?
Stop lying to me, I hissed, gritting my teeth. His eyes closed to slits now, and I knew he was reassessing me. I didn't care. I snarled at him. I know you're lying, so stop it. I know something's going on. I know that man came to you and said something to you. I know he's with the mob. There. My heart skipped a beat. I tossed out the first card and I waited. It was now his turn. Would he continue to lie, or would he tell me the truth? I needed the truth. I was realizing that. He had protected me for so long, as I tried to protect my loved ones, as I tried to protect him when we were children. But it would have to be different now.
He is.
Relief rushed through me, and my knees sagged. But I wasn't done. I forced myself to stand firm as I said the rest. I know that Franco is alive. Okay, that was a total bluff, but it had been bothering me for the past few days. He didn't react. Nothing. I frowned. What did that mean? But then he took a deep breath and pressed his lips together. The ice in his blue wolf-like eyes dimmed a little, and he glanced away. His jaw clenched as he swallowed, taking a breath at the same time, but then he turned back. It was there. I was bowled over with the realization. Franco was alive. I saw it in his eyes. Releasing a ragged breath, I couldn't talk for a moment. No words could even formulate in my head. Where did I go from there?
You should go back to the party.
I reared back. That was it? Are you kidding me? He grew weary. I shook my head, a bitter laugh spouting from me. I can't believe you. Franco's alive, and that's all you say to me? I should go back?
Emma.
He reached for me again. I slapped his hand away. No!
What do you want me to say?
He bit out now. The chill had come back. It doubled as he snapped,
You're not involved with this. I'm doing this to protect you. That's bullshit.
He stopped, his chest starting to heave now.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No. I didn't hesitate now. I am involved with this, you and me. We're together. I won't stand by anymore.
Not with this. Not with my ties.
You said you were out.
I am out.
No, you aren't, I yelled back. Suddenly his hand came up and pressed against my mouth. I was shoved back to the wall and he rested his body on mine. His head was beside me, and I could feel his deep breaths. His chest moved against mine, but his breath teased over my neck. My heart began to pound again, but I tried to listen over its loud thumping. We heard through the door,
We'll set up in a back suite. Reed wanted this meat. We'll give him what he wants.
The voice faded as the man moved beyond the door. Carter didn't let go of me, and I grew aware of the shadows that flickered past the door. We could see them as they followed whoever that man was. Then a sick feeling came over me, and I whispered around his hand, Was that Franco? He was tense, but he shook his head. Tell me what's going on. The need to protect him surged inside of me. It was there. He was considering it. I could feel it. But then he let out a deep breath. It was gone. An apology flashed in his gaze.
I can't.
Carter.
Emma,
he whispered, bending close again. I closed my eyes as I felt his lips move against mine. My heart was beginning to break. I didn't know what he was going to do. He added,
Go back to the party.
And you? He began to step back, but I didn't let him. My hands were fisted into his tuxedo, and I kept him against me. I didn't want to let him go. His eyes flickered down to my hands. He didn't fight my hold, but he gave me a tentative smile, cupping the side of my head. His thumb brushed some of my hair back.
I need to make some phone calls, and then I'll come back.
You promise? The need to believe him was so strong, but my gut was stirring. He was still lying to me. He nodded.
I promise.
Then he pressed his lips to my forehead and again to my lips.
I love you. I'll be right back.
Carter.
I will.
His eyes were reassuring now.
I promise.
I let him go. I had no choice. I knew that now. He was going where he was going, and I drew in a shuddering breath. My heart wouldn't calm down. I had no idea what to do. But he was gone in the next second. Even if I went after him, I knew he'd be gone. This was what Carter did. He was a ghost. But I had no idea what to do. My legs couldn't move. I was beyond scared now. I went back to the banquet room, unsure what to do. This was what he did. This was who he'd been for so long, so I should trust him. But not this time. A nagging voice kept saying to me, "Get up and go after him. What are you doing?" The award ceremony had started, but I struggled to hear any of it. The voice kept yelling at me to get up and go. "Finally!" Teresa exclaimed once Noah gave the last speech of the night. He thanked all his employees and gave the normal, "This hotel wouldn't be what it is without the people in this room," message. A collective, "Aw," went around the room as people felt moved by it. Then he announced that all the liquor stations had been restocked and hurried off the stage. Coming towards us as everyone else headed towards the stations, he was only stopped by two board members. When he broke free from them, he collapsed into the chair beside Teresa.
"Shit," he grunted. "That took a lot of time."
He reached for Teresa's glass and drained it.
"Hey, that's mine."
He put it down and reached for mine. "That's Emma's."
"She hasn't touched it all night. I've been watching you guys."
"Do you know where Carter is?" I asked now. My soft voice was clearly heard, and Noah stiffened before meeting my gaze. He was guarded. He knew. That was all I needed to know before I stood up. The voice screamed at me, "Go!" My mind was made up. Never mind. I was going after him.
"Emma, where are you going?"
Teresa stood with me. Amanda stood as well, but she remained silent. She was waiting for what I said next. A fake but polite smile plastered over my face. "I think I have to go to the bathroom." An eyebrow lifted as Teresa asked, "You think, or you have to go?" "Yes," I nodded to myself. "I need to go to the bathroom."
"Mind's made up,
Her grin turned knowing. Noah set his glass, my glass, down on the table and regarded all three of us with caution.
"What's going on?"
"Emma has to go to the bathroom."
"Okay, go."
He kept skirting between us.
"Do you all have to go? Am I supposed to watch your purses?"
Teresa snorted again, but in disgust.
"Yes, Noah, that's what we're doing. Would you watch our purses for us?"
He gestured to the table.
"Sure, leave them. But don't you guys always take them with you?"
Teresa opened her mouth to keep arguing, but I clutched mine and headed towards the nearest exit door. Amanda followed behind. Teresa remained at the table. Her arms went up in the air, all the signs of another Noah-Teresa fight about to happen. Amanda snickered.
"You know they're going to find a room pretty soon."
"Yeah," I shook my head. Their sexual chemistry fizzled at times, but was combustible at others. It was nearing the explosion mark now.
"Wish they'd get together once and for all."
"Yeah,"
Amanda sighed beside me as we went through into the hallway. It was empty except for a few drunken employees.
"Emma!"
someone called out. Oh, God. It was Tamra. She had a fake smile as she gripped her drink. A purse was stuck underneath her arm and her free hand held up the front of her silver dress. Even in high heels, she hurried to us and didn't seem to break stride. I would have been impressed if I hadn't been so irritated. She was keeping me from finding Carter.
"Hi, Tamra."
"Hi."
Her red lipstick was smeared to the side, and a few strands of her beautiful, sleek hair slipped from the fancy bun.
"Did you hear about my promotion?"
I shrugged.
"Yeah, congratulations. I know. I'm going to be heading up an entire hotel. I think Mr. Tomlinson wants me to prove what I can do. Once I do that, I'll be back and higher than ever." This is a great opportunity. I'm sure it is. Yeah, I know it is. Her smile never wavered. I had to give her that, and she even smoothed back the frayed hair strands. So, now her eyes snapped to attention. She was going in for the kill. I didn't believe it when I was told, but tonight I saw it from my own eyes. You and Carter Reed. Imagine that. Yeah, my tone chilled. Imagine that. That's great. Well, if the reports are right, you know, if he got out of the mob and everything, but damn, Emma, I'm so proud of you. My smile was stretched thin. Did I have time to hurt this girl? Proud of me? Yes, he's gorgeous. I mean, I know what he looks like, but he's so much more in person. I can't believe it. Then a look twitched in her eye. Revenge? Anger? And I heard that your brother was his best friend. That's so nice of him to reach out to you, you know, to honor your brother's memory. The media should really report how generous he must be. Nope, I caught it now. A smug, pretentious look. That's what it was. Really? My eyebrow went up. My hand turned into a fist. Amanda moved first. Damn her, she pushed me back. I'm really sorry, but we have to get going. I'll make sure to tell him your message. Tamara blinked. Her mouth opened a fraction. Amanda finished. I'm sure he'll see it that way, that he's being generous by being with his best friend's sister. I'm sure he won't take offense to that at all, but that's my opinion. All I know is that he really loves Emma, so I'm sure he won't take it in the degrading way you actually meant it to be. A small growl came from me. Amanda turned and pushed me back. We're going to the bathroom, remember? Yes, I had things to do. I'd never been friends with Tamara before, but now I wanted to yank her hair and slam her against the hallway. We were that type of friends now, and I knew there were so many other girls just like her. Let's go. Fine. My teeth ground against each other. As we went further down the hallway, we came to another one and paused. I glanced over. You know we're not going to the bathroom. Do we know where we're going? Nope, I answered. Okay, she nodded. Do we know what we're doing? Nope. Is he doing mob stuff? Yes. I didn't falter. She deserved to know what she was walking into. Glad we're on the same page. I caught the disapproval in her tone and pulled her to a stop. Then I faced my now oldest friend besides Carter and hoped she saw how much this meant to me. I love him. I know. But she faltered. She didn't, or she didn't believe it. I touched her arm again. I grew up with him. He was family to me. He abandoned you. Now the truth was out. No, I shook my head. Yes, he did. Her eyes grew hard. I defended you just now, but he left you. And I know that he's not with you because of your brother, but it still pisses me off that he left you in the first place. You told me stories about the foster homes, Emma. You've never mentioned Carter Reed at all. Not until... Her voice lowered and she moved closer. You know. So no, I don't think he's family and I don't think he loves you. My mouth fell open. How could she think any of this? Thoughts and betrayal raced through me when she continued. I think he wants you. Yes, I think that. But he wouldn't love you because he wouldn't have let you grow up alone. You were alone when I met you. I had Mallory, who you took care of all the time. You were alone. My eyes got big. I couldn't believe Amanda said that. She wasn't finished. I loved Mallory, I did. And I loved the group we had, all four of us, but you were my friend. I took care of her when you left. I did it for you. Mallory's never taken care of you back. It's always been one-sided, and I think you were just grateful she allowed that. So yes, Emma, you were alone until we became friends. I open my mouth, and I haven't left you now either. I know I'm roommates with Teresa. I know she's taken me under her wing, and I'll always be grateful. But you are my best friend. You are my sister.
That's how it is, so even though I don't approve of whatever you're about to do, I'm still with you. I'm here. I'm with you. She ended it with a dramatic nod.
Okay. I didn't know what else to say. Her eyebrow arched up.
Let's go find Carter, then.
And she gestured for me to take the lead. So I did.
A large group stumbled past the hallway to one end. I went to the other.
31. Amanda and I looked all over the hotel. They could have been anywhere. But just as we began to head back in defeat, I saw some big, muscle-bound guys at the end of one hallway. It was where the larger suites were located. I touched Amanda's arm. Let's go to my office quick. I have a master key that'll let us in. An eyebrow went up.
You think we'll have to break into a room?
No, that's why I'm getting the master.
Oh, she nodded. You go. I'll stay in case they leave.
Okay. I hurried off, but when I returned, there was no Amanda. The guys were still there. Their hands were inside their suit jackets and a bulge was underneath, as if they were holding their guns close. I started forward. I could go into the suite beside that one. It was empty, and I knew the patio was right next door. If I couldn't hear through the walls, I would have to try the patio. As I started forward, my heart pounding in my ears, a hand wrapped around my arm and I was lifted backwards. Before I could scream, a hand muffled it. My eyes got big. I couldn't fight back. It happened so quick, but I was shuffled into a different room. There were guys everywhere. Mike, Thomas. These were Carter's guys. Sagging in whoever had a firm grip on me, I didn't fight, as I was carried into another adjoining room and then dumped on a bed. Amanda gave me a shaky grin from the bed beside it. She was rubbing her head, but her eyes flitted up and locked on whoever had been holding me. Color warmed her cheeks before she jerked her gaze away. Frowning, I looked up and froze. It was the guy from Carter's photograph. The scary one. The one with the scar that ran horizontally over his forehead. He was glaring down at me, even more intimidating in person than over the image. If I didn't know he worked for Carter, I would have been sure my life was done. I rasped out, "Where's Carter?"
"Where do you think?"
he grunted back, going back to the other room. As he left us alone, I asked Amanda, "Are you okay?" She nodded, rubbing the back of her neck this time.
"He grabbed you too, huh?"
"Yeah."
She grimaced. It was more shocking than anything. "Who is he?"
"He works for Carter."
"I work with Carter."
He had returned, his hostility barely in check. Raking me from head to toe, I felt as if he could read my thoughts and felt all the nerves inside of me. It was disconcerting. Carter did that as well, but it was more from him. This guy made me feel violated. I crossed my arms over my chest and glared back. A small smile flitted over his face. It was gone as quick as it appeared, and I wondered if I'd even seen it in the first place. Maybe I was searching for a sign of friendliness? Either way, his silent stare wasn't helping Carter at all. I demanded, "Where is he?"
"He's in a meeting."
"I know. Where?"
The guy went to the window and peered out.
"It's none of your biz, Jean."
A guy poked his head in the room. Grim.
"It started."
This was Jean? Grabbing a gun that had been on a table, he held a radio in his other hand and rushed from the room. All the guys except Mike followed after him. When he stopped in our room and gave me a tentative grin, I sighed. He didn't know it, but I wasn't going to let him babysit me. He caught the defiant look from me, but took his post by the door.
"What's going on?" Amanda sat on my bed. She kept wringing her hands together in her lap.
"What if Teresa comes and looks for us? You don't think she's going to walk into that, do you?"
Teresa was the least of my worries at that moment. Standing up, I went to press my ear against the wall behind us.
"What are you doing?"
I waved her off. I couldn't hear if she talked. But it didn't matter. I still couldn't hear much. So I grabbed a glass from the coffee station and pressed it against the wall.
I heard a little bit more, shouting, cursing, the sound of someone getting hit. Then I heard someone say,
"You're going to die, Carter Reed."
That was all I needed. I ran from the room into the middle one and darted for the patio. They were close enough so I could climb over, but as soon as I stepped foot outside, a guy from the adjoining patio barked,
"Hey!"
I wavered. My heart was pounding, the blood was rushing to my head. But I couldn't get that voice out of my head. Carter was in danger.
"Emma!"
Mike hissed from the room. He jerked his hand inside.
"Get back here."
I couldn't. The guy already saw me and had his gun drawn. I had no other choice except to climb the patio. If I darted back inside, he'd follow. Mike and Amanda would be in danger. So with my chest tight, I started to climb over. The other guy grabbed me around the waist and carried me inside. My heart stopped when we got there. Carter was on the floor. Blood was all over him, and as he raised his head, he paled when he saw me. His skin was already sickly white, and one of his eyes was swollen shut. His nose looked broken, but when he started to rise, a guy delivered a swift kick to his side. He fell back down, holding his arms over his ribs for protection. It was minimal. The guy kicked him some more, and a third clipped Carter underneath his chin. His head reared back, and his entire body flipped over from that last hit. He was unconscious. A shrill laugh came from the corner of the room. I sucked in my breath and turned. This guy, whoever he was going to die. He wore a tuxedo, with his belly extending over his pants. With thin, graying hair, he narrowed his eyes at me, but he looked back to Carter. Sick enjoyment was in his gaze as he reached inside his breast pocket. A phone came out, and he dialed a number. No one moved. My gaze skirted between the sick bastard and Carter. This guy was a guest of the Christmas event. I saw the invitation sticking out of his coat when he had pulled the phone out. He was Noah's guest, Carter's guest. And he did this to him? I jerked forward, but my captor held me close. He scooted back. No, this wasn't going to happen. Not to Carter, not to me. This was not happening. A surge of adrenaline came over me. I couldn't wiggle out. I couldn't kick or hit. So I sunk my teeth into the guy's meaty arm. I went as far and as deep as I could. The guy yelled out and dropped me. Cursing, he scooted back, and I was free. Rolling to my feet, I felt a second guy reach for me, and I spun away. They were all shouting now,
"Get her!"
One reached for my arm, but I slammed my foot on his and then brought my knee up into his groin. He groaned and fell away. A fourth guy came next. I brought my elbow up, but he only chuckled and ducked. I twisted to the side. It didn't matter. He dodged all my hits and wrapped his arms around me. I was held in another paralyzing hold again, with a book shoved between my teeth and his arm now.
"We're not all stupid, honey."
I seethed and fought back. Nothing. My heart was pumping. My blood was racing. I had to get free. I had to protect Carter.
"Oh, she's a fighter, huh?"
The leader chuckled some more, but turned his back to me. He was completely disinterested with me as he spoke into the phone.
"We've got him. And her, too. We got them both."
He paused before nodding.
"Yeah, sounds good. Be there in 10.
He turned back and waved a hand to the room.
"Pick him up. He wants them both."
It was then that I looked around the suite. It was filled with men, all in black suits and the same bulges underneath. I knew it was his men that were in the hallway. As two guys moved forward to pick up Carter, the guy laughed to himself.
"He's a fucking idiot, showing up alone to this meeting. Carter Reed thinks he can take on anyone. Not me, you punk kid. Not me."
As the guys reached down and one touched under his arm, Carter moved like lightning. He grabbed the guy's hand, stuck something in his chest, and threw his body into the second man. Jumping to his feet, he pulled out a gun and shot at the three men in the room with me. The leader's eyes got big. A strangled, chortling sound came from him, but he backed against the walls with his hands in the air. At the same time, doors were kicked open. More men flooded into the room with guns already drawn. Mike and Thomas came in from the patio. A hand chopped at the neck of the guy who was holding me. I was released as he fell to the ground, but Mike caught me. He carried me from the room, back out onto the patio and over to the other room.
"Emma!"
Amanda cried out and rushed towards me. Mike released me as soon as we were in the room, and it was then that everything clicked. Oh my God! My knees buckled, and I slipped to the couch beside me.
"Emma!"
Amanda caught me and helped me sit down. She took my hands in hers.
"What happened? What were you thinking?"
I couldn't even answer that. What had I been thinking? I wasn't. Carter was hurt. I went for him. That's all I had thought. But I blinked as I realized there was more. I would have traded my life for his. My chest swelled, and my heart tried to burst from its place. I would have given my life for his. The image of Carter being kicked flashed before my eyes again. I flinched and reeled backwards. Mike stepped forward, his hand to his ear.
"We're supposed to move you back to the house. Emma, would you please come with me?"
I stood without thinking. Carter had been beaten senseless, and he got up. All his movements were precise, as if he knew what he was doing, as if he was waiting. Horror filtered in now. What had I interrupted?
"Emma."
I should have trusted him. Amanda helped me stand. My legs still wavered when I got up from the couch. She held on to my arm.
"I'm coming with her."
He frowned but nodded.
"Fine."
And then we were shuffled into the hallway and down the back exit. As we headed into the back elevator, I glanced to Mike. They knew the hotel inside and out. They had gotten help from someone who knew all the back hallways and staff shortcuts. We were bustled through the storage doors and into an SUV. Mike got into the back seat with us. It was large enough for four more people. The doors from the front opened and two more guards got inside. Mike touched his ear.
"Clear."
The SUV shot forward. I glanced back, as if to catch a look at Carter. But there was nothing. The storage doors to the hotel had already closed by the time we turned a corner. When we got to the house, I turned to Mike. "Is he okay?" He nodded and gestured inside.
"He'll be back as soon as he can. Your other friend was notified of your departures."
Mike glanced at Amanda as well. Understanding dawned over her.
"Oh, to Teresa, that's good. She would have worried."
He nodded again, a silent clip of the head. I sighed. That was all we were going to get. So when we got back, I led the way inside. Amanda trailed behind me, and as we went through the gym to the kitchen area, I heard her gasp behind me. This was the first time she had seen my home, my new home.
"Is this where you live?"
She was breathless. I nodded. "It's Carter's place." But that wasn't true. It was now my place, too. There was no energy to enjoy this moment. Amanda was my first, and would probably be the last, to see the inside of my new home. I should have been proud. But all I could think about was him.
"Is there a bathroom?"
I nodded, and showed her the one on the main floor. Then I went to the bedroom and changed clothes. My dress dropped to the floor. I didn't care about picking it up. Carter was supposed to have been there to undress me. We were supposed to have spent the night making love, and I had no idea where he was. After I pulled on sweats and a baggy sweatshirt, I grabbed another pair of each for Amanda. When I went back to the kitchen, she was searching through the cupboards. She gave me a sheepish grin.
"I was going to make coffee."
I lifted the clothes for her. "Yeah, I can make some. That's a good idea."
"Thanks for the clothes. Not that I wouldn't mind sitting around in this ball gown."
Giving me a crooked grin, she slipped past for the bathroom again. The coffee had started by the time she returned, and it wasn't long before I poured cups for both of us.
and like my routine on the other mornings when Carter was gone for business, I took some coffee to Mike. He told me more guards had returned and taken point around the building, so I filled up a thermos and climbed to the top floor. The guards didn't even act surprised anymore. And then I slid onto a seat beside Amanda at the table. We waited. It was hours later when people arrived, but they were the new guards. Mike went home. A different Mike took his place. He was positioned in the garage. The only reason I knew of the change was because the first Mike came in to warn me of the shift change. He gave me a tight but reassuring smile.
I didn't want you to be alarmed.
Any word from Carter? He shook his head and left. Amanda asked once he was gone and we were alone inside.
Would he tell you anyway?
Probably not. I sighed.
Emma, I'm sure he's fine.
I know he is. But that wasn't the point. I wanted to speak to him. I wanted to feel him, taste him. I wanted to hold him in my arms again. The images of him being beaten hadn't stopped. I kept seeing them over and over again, and I hadn't been able to stop it. Arms of cement held me back. It sent a chill down my back, because there would be another time, but Carter might not be able to get out of that one like he had this time. Whether he told me he was out or not, it didn't matter. I knew that Carter would always be connected to the mob. I'd been kept in the dark. It was terrifying. I wouldn't for the next time.
Look, Amanda said, maybe I should head home.
No, stay. I grabbed her arm when she started to stand. Please? She caught my gaze, saw the pleading, and bent down. She pressed a kiss to the top of my forehead, skimming her hand over my hair.
It's not the same, you know?
What isn't?
Carter and Mallory.
My mouth went dry. I hadn't realized I'd been putting the two together. But she was right. I lost Mallory, even though I'd been reassured she would be fine. I swallowed over a big ball of emotion in my throat. I was scared of the same thing happening to him.
Mallory was doomed from the beginning.
Tears pricked at the corner of my eyes. Amanda had never spoken like this before. She sounded resigned as she pressed another kiss to my forehead. Turning, she rested her cheek to the top of my head and murmured,
"She knew who Jeremy Dunvin was when they started together, and she knew he was a bad guy. That's all she picked. She's not the same as Carter."
I blinked back the tears, "And he's not like her. He'll fight for you." Amanda stood. The corner of her lip curved up. But she was haunted. I knew it, because I was the same. We were both haunted. She continued,
"I was wrong before. Carter loves you. That's obvious, and if anyone's going to get out of the mob, it'll be him. That man isn't one to be crossed."
She patted my hand again.
"He'd move heaven and earth to keep you safe. I don't agree with how he kept you safe before, but I know the lengths he'd go for you now."
Another yawn escaped her.
"You should try to get some sleep, too."
Later, we both snuggled into couches in the downstairs media room. I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep, but Amanda wasn't having that problem, so we compromised. She made me promise to try, so we put a movie on. It was a tradition we used to do when we'd go drinking with Mallory and Ben. Mallory usually ended the night with some guy. Ben would storm home and Amanda stayed the night on the couch. We would both fall asleep to a movie. But I didn't that night. I was awake for hours when a silhouette finally appeared in the doorway, and I almost cried out in relief. Carter came and took my hand. He led us to our room. 32. When we got there, he let go, but I took his hand again and led him into the bathroom. His face had been battered from the beatings, there was dried blood over him and his hair as well, and he stood there watching as I inspected every wound. He winced as I probed his ribs, so instead of having him lift his shirt over, I took a firm hold at the top and ripped it.
It fell to the floor. My eyes took it all in. His chest and ribs had taken the brunt of the kicks, at least the ones I saw. The tips of my fingers softly grazed over him, and he hissed from the pain. My eyes caught his. I saw the pain and took a deep breath. Strength surged inside of me. He needed mine. So I pointed to the counter and murmured, "Sit." My voice came out hoarse, and I bit down on my lip. Pain sliced me when he made a motion to vomit. When he didn't, I let out the breath I'd been holding and warmed some washcloths. Pressing it to the cut on his nose, the washcloth immediately turned red from the blood. He hissed some more when I continued to his swollen cheek, then to his swollen eye. "You should see a doctor." He nodded, closing his one eye. Slowly, he leaned forward and rested his forehead on my shoulder. His lips moved against my skin as he answered,
"I had to see you first."
My hand lifted to cradle the back of his head. I drew another deep breath in and rested my head against his. My eyes closed. I felt his pain, and I hated it. He shouldn't have been hurting. But I knew he put himself in that situation for a reason. So many questions flew in my head, but I refrained from asking. My fingers began to massage the back of his head, delicately at first, and they grew stronger when he didn't grimace or flinch away. Instead, his hand moved to the small of my back, and he pressed me tighter against him. As I kept massaging, he grew more and more tired. His weight leaned on top of me until all of it was there. He had fallen asleep. I was holding him up, and I stood there. I continued holding him. I would have stood there for hours, standing for him. But a small movement caught my eye, and I looked up. Amanda had a hand to her mouth. She watched from the doorway. As she did, a lone tear slipped down. Then she mouthed, "He's asleep?" I nodded. The woman in me didn't want to move, but logic kicked in. He needed medical attention sooner rather than later, so I whispered, "Go out the doors and have them call a doctor for me." She nodded, disappearing again. Carter groaned and stiffened on me. He lifted his head up, holding it in the palm of his hand as he grunted. His eye was pressed tight.
"I fell asleep."
He didn't move all the way back, just enough so he could sit upright. Sliding my hands up his legs, more to test if there were wounds, I urged them apart and stood in front of him now, front and steady. Then I began cleaning the rest of his blood. I started with his head first. Since there was so much blood, I went slow and dabbed so I wouldn't reopen already healing cuts. When that was done, I got more washcloths and started on his chest. Carter sat there the whole time. His hands rested on my hip bones. As I continued to wash him, his eyes closed and his head bobbed down. He slumped forward as if he'd fallen asleep. But when I moved to grab another handful of washcloths, his hands tightened on my hips to keep me anchored in front. I skimmed a hand over his cheek, cupping the side of his face, and his eyes opened to mine. He was drowsy, but he moved to the side and kissed the inside of my hand. "A doctor should be coming," I murmured, my voice thick from so much damn love for this man. His eyes closed again, but he kept a firmer grip on me. Amanda came back and gave me the 5-minute signal. I wasn't sure if we were supposed to leave or if the doctor would come to us, but I nodded. She left again and I took Carter's hand. "You should shower and get different clothing on." He nodded. When he moved to unbuckle his pants, I brushed his hand to the side and did it for him. His pants and boxer briefs dropped to the floor. Before I could take him into the shower, he stopped me. His fingers came to my clothes, and he lifted the sweatshirt off. My sweats were next, and then we both stepped under the water. As it drenched us, more of his blood trailed down. The red circled the drain on the floor, turning the water pink.
That seemed symbolic to me. Things were healing. Skimming a hand down my arm, he tugged me against him and hugged me. Then he murmured,
"I almost lost it when I saw you being carried into that room."
My hand raised and slid back into its place on the back of his head. My fingers dug in and grabbed a hold of his hair, but it was to hold him against me. I was cautious of all his bruising. "I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking."
"He could have killed you."
His hand gripped me tighter.
"He could have shot me and taken you instead. Franco wanted you too."
I didn't say anything. He tried to keep me away. I should have trusted him. He growled into my shoulder. His other hand pressed me against him harder.
"It's why I didn't tell you what was going on. I couldn't have you anywhere near the situation. I needed you where my men were watching you."
A soft curse slipped from him.
"I had to wait until he made that phone call. I needed to know Franco's location. You could have been killed."
The horror from before rose in me again. I blinked back the tears at what I had almost done. "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You were hurting, and I couldn't handle it. I reacted without thinking. No one will take you away from me. I won't lose you again. Not now that I have you. My brother, Mallory? Not you, too." His lips moved against my skin, pressing a kiss there until he lifted his head. I gasped as I saw the agony in his depths. Pure agony. He choked out, his chest rising for a deep breath.
"He could have killed you. You shouldn't have been anywhere near that room. Why didn't you just listen to me and stay away?"
"Because I was looking for you.
I told you I would come back."
I stepped back and gazed at him, stupefied. "There was a time when you didn't come back for me. I can't lose you. You've been protecting me, but it goes both ways. I will protect you, too. It's not just you in this relationship. I love you, too. And I knew you were lying to me. That killed me the most. You didn't trust me to tell me the plan."
"And if I had?"
I stopped. "If he had." My eyes went down. "I would have done what I did anyway."
"Exactly."
He closed his eyes, holding my hand to his chest before he lifted it for a kiss.
"The Bartel family knew an elder was working with Franco. They knew he had been tipped off before the initial strike. I was supposed to wait until they found out who that was. When I got word, I demanded a meeting, and the timing was perfect. The elder's daughter works at the Richmond in Chicago. She was given 3 tickets, and he volunteered to be the one for the meeting."
"You knew all of that was going to happen tonight?" He nodded. "And you never told me."
"I made a call."
His eyes grew hard. I didn't care. I didn't care what I would have done. My chin rose and I stepped even further back. "I won't have that in this relationship. Take it or leave it, Carter. If you're going to intentionally put yourself in danger, I need to know. I can't be kept in the dark. Not anymore. I love you, and I will always protect you, no matter the consequences to me. And it'd be smart for you to acknowledge my side." His eyes clasped shut, and a soft curse slipped from him. Then he sighed again.
"I forgot how much fight you have in you."
A crooked grin appeared.
"I love you for it."
"Really?" He nodded, tugging me against him again. He bent down and teased me with a soft kiss.
"We didn't know who else was supporting Franco, even on my side, so I kept most everyone in the dark."
"Your men knew?"
"Not until the last minute. Their calls were being monitored to see if they would send an alarm to Franco."
I bit my lip. "Did they?"
"No. Everyone was loyal. They could have taken you, another reason why I didn't want you to know. You were supposed to stay at your table."
He groaned and swept me tighter against him. I could feel every inch. The water slid over us, increasing the arousal in me. But I held back. He was too damaged for that. He needed to heal. He continued,
hugging me so tight.
The plan was for the Elder to think I was almost dead. Once he made the call, we had him. We could locate Franco from the number.
Did you?
Yeah. He had no idea. It's over. Franco is dead.
I frowned, but didn't move away. His arms clenched me tight, making his biceps bulge from the movement. I hadn't known Franco wasn't dead. But the guards, you only put two on me. He shook his head.
No, they were always there. They just followed you from behind in case Franco tried to snatch you. I didn't want to alarm you.
Carter! I was so pissed at him.
What?
You should have told me all of this. He drew back, capturing my gaze and holding it. I couldn't look away. I didn't want to. He needed to see how I was affected. I thought I was losing you. Do you know what that did to me? He grinned.
Yeah, it made you act crazy.
Rolling my eyes, I almost punched him in the chest, but pulled back at the last second. His grin widened at that. I shook my head. You can't keep me in the dark anymore.
I won't.
My eyes caught his again, and I searched inside of him. When he saw my suffering, he softened. He whispered,
I promise.
I nodded. Okay. Then he kissed me, and he put all of his love into it. I stood on my tiptoes and hugged him as much as I could. He didn't seem to mind his wounds, but I did. After showering, we dressed again and left to see the doctor. When he was being prodded, Amanda came over and stood beside me. She had put on a fresh pot of coffee, since it was the middle of the night. She yawned as she flashed me an apologetic grin.
I am sorry again. You deserve to be happy, and he's the guy for you, no matter what anyone says. This is right, the two of you. You're right together.
Warmth rushed up in me, and I swallowed thickly. I was choked up with so much emotion, and all I could murmur was, thank you. She patted my hand and kissed my cheek before whispering,
you deserve your happily ever after.
He's it. This is it. I grinned, blinking back more tears. Even with the mob connections?
Even with.
She pulled me in for another hug. I was too touched to respond. The cynical side would have joked when she had turned into a Hallmark card, but the sentimental side was too moved to even speak. It meant a lot, especially through all we'd been together. This was a friendship I didn't want to lose.
Okay. She pressed her hand against my arm again. Do you think I could get a ride home?
My hand took hold of her arm before she could venture far. I pulled her back and shook my head. You're better off staying here.
Why?
I am pretty sure Teresa's not home alone.
Oh, you're right. She sighed. They can get loud. All right, can I sleep in a room this time?
Laughing, I showed her to a guest bedroom on the second floor before returning back to the kitchen. The doctor was finishing up his assessment. He lectured as I drew nearer.
You need rest, lots of it. That means no nothing, Carter. No sex, no fighting, no nothing. If you can work from home, I'd recommend it. And I mean it about the sex. Don't think I didn't see that cute honey standing looking all concerned before. No sex.
Carter pushed him back a little.
Don't start, Doc. Don't start, he sniffed. Don't start, he says. He only woke me up, had his men come and transport me here, and now he says, don't start. I'll start all I want. You have a broken rib. It needs to heal. Yeah, and it will.
I turned the last corner. The doctor saw me and graced me with a smile. He lifted his notepad in my direction.
Make sure he rests and don't have sex with him. Even if you're doing all the work, it'll still strain his ribs.
He clapped Carter on the shoulder, giving both of us a polite salute of the hand before he picked up his bag again.
And now I'm hoping that same transport will take me home.
Carter waved his guys to do his bidding. Later, as I helped Carter into bed and curled up next to him, I asked over a yawn,
"Is everything done now?"
He pulled me closer to him, tucking his head into the crook of my shoulder and neck. His hand went to my breast and simply held it.
"Yeah, I think so."
I nodded, my eyelids already drowsy.
"Good."
He kissed my neck where he was nuzzling me.
"Good?"
Reaching up, I laced my fingers with his and breathed out a deep breath. Everything was how it should be. Amanda's words, Franco's death, Carter beside me. I knew that no matter what came at us, things would be fine. I breathed again in relief, feeling the first flutter of peace in my chest. My lips curved up as I rested my head against his. "Yeah, everything's good."
"Good."
He pressed his lips to my neck again, one last time. It wasn't long until I heard his deep breathing and knew he'd fallen asleep. Then I closed my eyes. Everything would be fine. I'd make sure of it, no matter what challenges came at us. Everything was perfect. This concludes Carter Reed by Tijen, narrated by Lucy Rivers. Copyright 2013 by Tijen Meyer. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Tijen, care of Distel and Goderich Literary Management, and was produced in the year 2014 by Tantor Media Incorporated, which holds the copyright there too. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers, or call toll-free 877-7-TANTOR to request a catalog.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.